We are back at it. Welcome back to another edition of the Pistols Firing Podcast. This is an edition I did not think was coming. It's the post-Brad Underwood era edition of the Pistols Firing Podcast. It's deja vu all over again. The Oklahoma State job is open. Doug Gottlieb is once again a candidate. Kyle, are you having any deja vu flashbacks to last year?
I'm having all sorts of hallucinations since I haven't slept in like 3 days. I don't know what I'm seeing or thinking. I don't even know how to feel anymore. We were texting about this last night, but like, I still don't know where I'm landing on all of this. It's so bizarre that this is happening once again. And it was the furthest thing from my mind on Friday when Oklahoma State lost to Michigan. It really was. And we did our Periscope on Saturday when the news broke, and it was fun to kind of get that instant reaction. But I don't really know that my feelings overall have changed that much, and that I don't know what to think. Have you landed on a position yet?
As far as how the breakup happened?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, to me, like, did Brad Underwood operate under a little bit of bad faith asking for $2.9 million?
It's a lot of money.
Probably. Is that too much for Brad Underwood after one season when he goes 9-9 and 1-8 against the top half of the Big 12, or 1-9, I think it was, against the top half of the Big 12? Probably. But it's to me, this all falls on Mike Holder and how he negotiated with Brad Underwood. I don't think Brad Underwood had made up in his mind that I'm leaving unless I get $2.9 million. I don't think that was the case at all. I think the way the negotiations played out is why he decided to leave. He said he obviously got upset. The only reason you leave Oklahoma State for Illinois after one season is if you're just irate with your boss. And I think that's what happened. Barry Trammell wrote a great article about the inner workings of the relationship there. It just, to me, and Doug, I had Doug on Channel 5 last night, and you can see the whole interview on their KOCO Facebook page. But I thought he said something really interesting in that they share an agent, Doug and Brad, and yeah. he said that Brad did the negotiating himself. And you want to talk about how bad blood gets brewed? It's when you negotiate your own contract. The buffer of the agent is so crucial. Mm-hmm. And without that buffer, things disintegrated. Because Holder threw some facts at him. Like, look, dude, you were 9-9 in conference play. You were fifth in the league. You were 1-and-done in the NCAA tournament. And you want Final Four money, which you can argue, should he have been that blunt? I don't know. But the reason, and if he's saying all these facts to the agent doesn't take it personal, and he damn sure doesn't tell Brad Underwood everything that was said. He just tells him, you know, dollars and cents and figures. And I think that's how this relationship crumbled. And I'm not sure why Brad Underwood has an agent if he's going to be doing the negotiating. Why are you giving up a portion of your salary to an agent if you're doing the negotiation? So I think both men are to blame, but I think it all falls at the feet of Mike Holder because he doesn't have a head basketball coach, and it's his job to make those guys happy. And we're seeing now why him and Mike Gundy don't get along at all. We're seeing why Mike Gundy hunts rattlesnakes and grows a mullet. You know what I'm saying? Like, and it's incumbent on the athletic director to get along with your two revenue-making coaches. Bob Stoops, the longest tenured coach in college football. Every time he's asked about why he's been at OU so long, first person he mentions is Joe Castiglione.
Yeah.
I've yet to hear an OSU coach mention Mike Holder first when they're asked about their career.
Yeah, it's true. I thought the Barry Trammell article on Sunday night was telling, just in terms of, and it's just, there's so many different angles to this. We could talk about this for 6 hours and not hit all of them, but I think that Mike Holder is okay with Oklahoma State not being an elite program. And the reason I think that is because I think he's still spooked by the Travis Ford contract, as he should be, as we all are. I mean, Gottlieb mentioned this on your video that you did with him, that, you know, he's getting crushed for Mike Holder's getting crushed for not doing what he did with Travis Ford, which is overpay. He would be overpaying Travis Ford Brad Underwood at $3 million. Like, I don't think any rational person that follows this does not think that Illinois is overpaying Brad Underwood at $3 million like that.
Plus the buyout.
Plus the buyout. It's over $20 million in total. That's ludicrous. That's crazy. But as I wrote on Sunday, you got to invest in the future. And what Mike Holder did tells me that he either does not care if Oklahoma State is elite at basketball. And I think that's okay. I think I'm okay with that. Like, Oklahoma State's not an elite basketball program. Like, they're just not. They should be a top 30 to 35 program. And I think it's hard because do you want to pay $3 million a year to be a like a top 30 program? Like, I think that Mike Holder thinks that no matter who the coach is, that's sort of the ceiling for Oklahoma State. And that he can go find somebody else that can reach that ceiling. Now, whether or not that's true, I think remains to be seen, because we saw Travis Ford bumble around for, you know, 8 years and not really be a top 30 program. Mike Holder thinks that Oklahoma State is an elite basketball program and he can go find somebody who will take them to a Final Four and then ask for Final Four money. Now, I don't really know if that's true. If it is, it might be the person that we're about to talk to should be the head coach. But I don't know. The whole thing it's a mess. And I'm with you. I think that both parties kind of messed up a little bit. But I do think that I'm okay with what Mike Holder did. Like, I'm not. Well, but it's not your money. Again, like, you have to balance a budget. You have to answer to Burns Hargis if you're
OSU broke.
No, but
I mean, the difference between Illinois' offer and the supposed one that Holder offered that escalated to $3 million was roughly, I think, $2 million over the lifespans of both contracts. Is OSU going to go broke if they pay that extra $2 million?
No, but think about the reverberations and what this does to the Mike Gundy contract. All of a sudden you're paying Brad Underwood $3 million and Mike Gundy's like, wait a second, I've been here 11 years. Look at what we've done.
Well, that contract sitting unsigned, I think it's incumbent on Mike Holder to get that signed and get Underwood signed. And that's my thing, Kyle. Like, Brad Underwood talked about OSU being the second best job in the Big 12. And I agree with him. I think it's up there. Now, the results haven't been there largely due to coaching. And do you want to win or do you not? It's not Brad Underwood's fault that Mike Holder screwed up the Travis Ford contract. It's not Brad Underwood's fault that the Big 12 is littered with behemoth coaches that make $2.5 to $3 million. That's the going rate to compete in this league, is $2.5 to $3 million if you want to be on the top half of the league. The only people less than that are the Texas Techs of the world, the K-States, which I guess Mike Holder threw in Brad's face, which also didn't fly very well with him.
But he's not wrong.
Do you want to pay your coach, like you said, top 30, top 40 money, or do you want to be a top 25 program? I thought you made a great point that you question whether Mike Holder wants that. I do too. He certainly made it certain over the last 10 years that it's not a top 25 job with the hires he's made, the decisions he's made, and how he handled this Brad Underwood deal.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to argue with that. I think that Mike Holder kind of wants to be really good at basketball, but isn't the thing that's super interesting to me is, like, he's all about making money, selling tickets, filling up Gallagher, right? Like, that's his deal. Like, he wants to win, yes, but he wants to fill up Gallagher, and as he should. Like, your job as the athletic director is to have a successful program financially and a successful product on the court. And guess what? Brad Underwood was doing that. And I think he got a little caught up in, like, the record and you know, past performance instead of, like, the trajectory. Of Oklahoma State basketball for Brad Underwood was, I mean, it was good. Like, it was top 25, you know? Like, that I think you ask anybody nationally and locally, like, Oklahoma State was headed to be a consistent top 25 program year in and year out under Brad Underwood. And Holder just didn't. I don't know. He couldn't pull the trigger on that trajectory. And again, it goes back to Travis Ford. It has to. It just does. Because, and Barry Trammell pointed this out, 2009, the trajectory for Oklahoma State basketball, guess what? It was top 25 consistently year in and year out. They were coming off the Sean Sutton mess. Ford had them, you know, playing well. They were successful in the tournament. They almost got to the Sweet 16. They won 22 games or 23 or whatever. That was a pretty good trajectory. And Mike Holder paid on that trajectory, and he got burned on it in the end. So, I don't.
Yeah, that's my deal. Is do you swallow your checkbook and pay Brad Underwood $3 million and keep this momentum going as far as the attendance, the revenue he's bringing in with ticket sales, or do you say I'm not willing to pay that and start from scratch? That's the bluff that Mike Holder made. He pushed his chips into the center, and Brad Underwood called it and got the hell out of town.
Yeah.
And that to me is a huge misstep, a huge misstep. Now you can argue all you want about, you know, the seasons were similar with Travis Ford. I defy anyone to watch the season we witnessed under Brad Underwood and the season that we go back to with Travis Ford and say that Underwood's a better coach than Travis Ford. Like that's so easy to see to me. I don't know. Maybe that's hindsight. Maybe not.
Yeah.
But the fact is, now you start from scratch and you've just taken a giant step back. And was it worth it overpaying a little guy for trajectory, as you mentioned? Like I get the Travis Ford conundrum, but you don't have to pay the guy $10 million. Like, is anyone going to get out their pitchforks because you paid Brad Underwood $3 million and he flames out? Like, based on the excitement he had built? I don't think so.
Yeah, I think you could have gotten creative and structured. And this is where I think Holder screwed up a little bit. I think you could have gotten creative and structured it to where you didn't have that same, I think Trammell called it an albatross, like, around the athletic department's neck. I don't know if I totally understand where that analogy came from initially, but you could have structured it and gotten creative and said, hey, you know, maybe you make it performance based. Maybe you make it the buyout really, really low after 3 years and just say, hey, look, Brad, we want to pay you. Like, we really do. Like, you're awesome. Like, you're a great coach. We want to be Kansas. We want to give you $3 million a year, but look at what just happened to us. Can we lower the buyout? Like, can we make it less? Can we give ourselves an out here? Like, try to understand where we're coming from. Like, where was that angle, you know, in these negotiations?
And I totally agree. And I don't want to make this all about Mike Holder, because obviously Brad Underwood's a phony. Like, to go to Illinois, to go to Illinois and say, this feels like home, give word for word quotes that you gave at your introduction speech at Oklahoma State, like, that just makes you look like a total phony. And to drum up, oh, I've always viewed Illinois as one of the best jobs in the country, just say the exact same stuff you're saying at Stillwater, it just makes you look like a complete fake and phony. And for Underwood to get that antsy during the season, before the season's even over, about salary, makes you wonder, was he even committed to Oklahoma State? Was all that stuff he said just BS?
Yeah,
is my question. And another thing, if he was so offended by the $1 million salary, why did you sign it? Doug said UNLV and St. Louis offered him more money. If money was the goal, and I think it is, he's a longtime assistant, he's already in his 50s, his opportunity to get paid is now. I get that.
Yeah.
But why do you take the OSU job and just, you know, there's an article in SI said his team never felt right about getting bent over the barrel by Mike Holder the first time around. Well, nobody made you sign that contract, bud. Like, that to me is crazy. Now, maybe he took that on a handshake agreement with Mike Holder saying he expects a raise if he wins. And obviously him and Holder disagreed on how much he won. Maybe that's what happened. That's probably what happened. But this notion that he was just taken advantage of, and, oh my God, I can't believe they, all the national guys, he is such a terrible contract. Well, it takes two to sign that thing, you know?
Yeah.
And at the time we were like, what a discount for Oklahoma State. What a great deal. And it turned out, it was the beginning of the end at the very beginning of his tenure.
Yeah. And I think that it's almost like if you would have signed him for $2 million to begin with, probably none of this would have happened, which is weird to think about. Like,
totally.
You kind of screwed yourself. And again, not Holder's fault. Like, of course you're going to sign somebody who only signed for $1 million, but we need to toast, Carson. We were planning on having a guest today, but looks like we might have to do that either later in the day or the week. Not totally sure there, but we need to toast. It's time for the Coop Aleworks Toast of the Week. Coop Aleworks bring great tasting craft beer in Oklahoma City. Try the flagship F5 IPA, the bold DNR Belgian Strong Ale, or the refreshing Horny Toad Blonde. For your next watch party, tailgate, or get together with friends, enjoy a cold Coop Aleworks, and please remember to drink responsibly. Who are you going to toast this week, Carson?
I am going to crack open a DNR, and I am going to go out to O'Keene, Oklahoma, to a rattlesnake hunt in progress. I'm going to tap Mike Gundy on the back, have him turn. Mike, come here. Here's an ice cold DNR to wash down that rattlesnake barbecue you're having. Because now you have more leverage than you had when you won the Big 12 and when you won the Fiesta Bowl. You can walk into Mike Holder's office right now and demand $5-6 million. And what's he going to do about it?
Yeah, nothing.
Not a thing.
Zero things.
So I think Saturday was a bad day for Oklahoma State, a bad day for Mike Holder. It was a fantastic day for Mike Gundy.
Yeah, it was. You're right. That's who I was going to toast as well. But I'm gonna flip it over back to basketball, and I'm gonna toast Phil Forte. He seems like an elevator guy, a Vader. Him and Gundy might clink a Vader at some point in the future, as they're both big Vader fans, presumed Vader fans. It's just a great career. Like, you know, I think that he got a little bit overrated as a player throughout his career, just because everybody loved him, but. He's also, you know, in some ways underrated. Like, I think he sort of was like the evolution of Keaton Page. Like, he was the better Keaton, I think. And just, you know, he just brought it every night. And he shouldn't have been as successful as he probably was in the Big 12. And it's going to be a bummer missing out on watching him at Gallagher-Iba. So, to a great career. I think he finished with like 335, something like that. Might never be broken. I don't know. He shattered the old record and now is the all-time leader in three-pointers at Oklahoma State.
That's a great toast. I got a chance to sit down with him the Tuesday before their game against Michigan and just kind of go over his career. You know, he's sixth all-time in OSU's history. That's crazy. He's had a great career. In scoring, sixth yeah. all-time in points scored. First, obviously, as you mentioned, in three-pointers made. Just tremendous career. You know, he's brought in as a throw-in with Marcus Smart. That's how some viewed it. I mean, he was a great player in his own right out of high school. But had a great career. That's a great toast, and he'll be missed. And I think, you know, if people want to make the comparisons to Travis Ford with Brad Underwood, Brad Underwood inherited two really good players, a super senior and Keaton Page, Phil Forte. That will happen all the time, him getting called Keaton Page.
Yeah.
Underwood inherited a super senior in Phil Forte and a absolute superstar point guard in Juwan Evans. It'll be interesting to see him recruit his own players at Illinois. But, yeah, great toast to a great career.
Okay, real quick, let's talk about this week's uniform. We're going to do a preview brought to you by Chris's University Spirit, your one-stop cowboy shop on Campus Corner, and be sure to shop online at chrisuniversityspirit.com. On Saturday night, Doug Gottlieb was tugging at our heartstrings by saying that his first order of business would be to bring back the cursive cowboy uniforms as Oklahoma State's, I believe, main uniforms. Is that what he said?
That's going to be the uniform.
Yeah, their primary uniform. So I think that's enough to get both you and me on board with him being the coach. No, I'm just kidding. But what? Just your thoughts on that, and that's my uni thought for the week.
Well, I'm swooning at the thought of Doug leading the team out in cursive cowboy uniforms. It's kind of crazy though that, you know, I had a nice conversation with Brad Underwood on the Tuesday before the Michigan game about changing the uniforms. And the first thing I asked him was, "Hey, Brad," he was just kind of standing near me. I was like, "Brad, come on. When are you guys going to the Curse of Cowboys? Like, let's stop with this current uniform." And he kind of smiled, and we talked a little bit about uniforms. I don't really want to, little did I know he was talking about changing the uniforms to Fighting Illini uniform. But no, Doug would do all that, man. He gets it. He would bring back all the nostalgia. I guarantee you, he'd bring back every former player all the time. It would be a who's who at every game. All you had to do is look at Tony Allen retweeting the Dorothy No Place Like Home gif that Doug posted. He would bring all that back. The question is, could he win basketball games? That's the most important thing. I think that Brad Underwood proved that. You know, he won games. That's why people got excited. He absolutely annihilated Wichita State. He absolutely slaughtered Arkansas. He didn't have as much success in the Big 12, but winning games is most important. But no, the uniforms would be off the charts with Doug. There's no denying that.
Okay, Carson, we need to discuss something. We need to talk about our dads. They're in a bad way. Our dads have been at this much longer than we have. They've been through they've got a lot more war stories than we've got in Oklahoma State history. how's Papa Cunningham doing right now?
He's in bad shape, Kyle. Whenever the news broke and I tweeted, I retweeted Jeff Goodman, retweeted Gary Parrish, my dad texted me and said he didn't believe it. He thought they were hacked. He thought that he was so adamant that there's no way Brad Underwood could go to Illinois that he thought that it was a fake account or their accounts had been compromised. And he was going to wait until he heard it from Brad himself that he was leaving. And then I texted him after the picture of Brad in the Illinois jacket came out, and he just wrote back fake news. He's in bad shape, Kyle. He already was not a big fan of Mike Holder. My dad had season tickets for about 25 years, most of my life. We were going to old Gallagher, then new Gallagher, and Holder kept just jacking up. Whenever they made that Final Four, it was great, but it also gave Holder carte blanche to just gouge loyal fans season ticket-wise. And he tripled the donation that was required to keep his seats and raised the ticket prices to an absurd level. My dad said, screw you, I'm out of here. And he canceled his season tickets. Hadn't been back a lot since. We actually went to a game together this year to go watch Underwood against Baylor.
Yeah.
And it was great. Underwood had reeled my dad back in after he had completely sworn off OSU basketball because of Mike Holder.
Was he doing the Thunder thing? What was his deal?
Well, we'd go to Thunder games sparingly, but he'll watch on TV. You know, back in Eddie's day, the games weren't on TV. So if you wanted to watch OSU basketball, you had to go. Now he just sits on the recliner and watches at home. He's fine. And he's never liked Mike Holder. And after this, he says he will not go to Stillwater or spend a single dollar on OSU as long as Mike Holder is the athletic director. He's in bad shape as far as how all this went down. So pray for Papa Cunningham, and his loyalty to Oklahoma State is in question now, as long as Mike Holder's the AD.
So I get a call, same timeline, shortly after the news went down, and my dad was in Las Vegas this week with a friend. I don't have all the details. I'm kind of scared to ask. And he said it's like really noisy in the background. Like sounds like there's like somebody just won a lot of money, like, you know, at the craps table or something. And my dad just said, like, all he said, is it true? Is it true?
That ain't true.
And I said, yeah, it's true. And I'm like trying to write, I was legitimately like trying to write the Brad Underwood to Illinois post. And so I didn't talk much. And we just sat on the phone in silence. Like he didn't really say anything. Oh my God.
You just needed to hear each other's. You just needed to comfort each other.
Yeah.
Through this difficult time.
And so he's just on the other line, and he said, "Well, yeah, I don't know. Somebody here saw the news, and I had to call you. So I guess I don't know. I guess I'll talk to you." Like it was bad. He was in a bad way. He was fired up about Brad Underwood, and
yeah,
you know, my parents live in Stillwater part time, and they've got season tickets, and they were pumped. Like it was cool. It was fun that OSU basketball was fun again. And now it might not be, you know. Barry Trammell said this, and I thought it was really smart. Like you don't know, like it's so hard to restart the thing. Like they killed it with Brad Underwood, but that doesn't happen every time. Like you might hire two or three not great coaches in a row, and then 10 years later you've still won one tournament game since 2006. You know, that's rough. Like that I don't know, it's going to be super interesting to see what Mike Holder does.
I'm reading my texts from my dad. It says he says sources could be wrong, and I said, Dad, not two different ones from national publications, they're not wrong. He said, I don't buy it, believe it when I hear it from Underwood. Then no, I didn't respond just because I was busy like you. He wrote back. He turned on Underwood pretty quickly. He said, "Kevin Durant 2.0, fake loyalty." So he was running the gamut of emotions. Brad Underwood.
We have to give our graphics guy Chris Knox a shout out for his Photoshop of Underwood's face on Kevin Durant. Like I know they're like Kevin Durant's 7 foot and like skinny, and Brad Underwood is not 7 foot and not skinny, but it was a great Photoshop. Like, it looked like the, like, Kevin Durant has like really skinny arms, and sometimes it seems like Brad Underwood might too. Like, you could like see that, like, playing out. Like, it was just, I don't know. I died when I saw it. It was so funny. I thought that was tremendous.
Chris Knox is the Tom Brady of Photoshops. He's, like, they're just unbelievable.
He's incredible.
The best one also too was the picture of Gundy holding the snake and Brad Underwood's head on the snake.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Like, last known picture of Mike Gundy and Brad Underwood.
Yeah.
the memes were tremendous. And how about I tweeted out the picture of Underwood and Holder that the Oklahoman had.
Oh my gosh. Company,
Barry Trammell's. It's Mike Holder putting his hand on Underwood's leg, and Underwood staring at his hand while he does it. I couldn't believe they're still, that's still on the front page of News OK right now.
Yeah, it's
an all-time photo.
It really is. Like, I think that was at one of those like Cowboy Roundup or Cowboy Corral thing. What, I don't know what they're called. From earlier in like last summer or whatever, when they went around to every town in Oklahoma and, you know, preached the good news of Oklahoma State basketball being back. But yeah, it was an incredible photo.
Well, and I know how that happens. Like, someone at the Oklahoma just Googles through their archives Underwood and Holder, and they found like the first picture and put it on there without really thinking it through.
Yeah.
Because it's one of the more awkward photos ever taken.
Yeah.
And I actually found a clip, Kyle. You know, I was at practice Tuesday before all this went down, and then I was actually at a practice a month before that around there, and Holder was at practice, and I actually shot some video, and I posted it on Twitter. Just,
yeah.
He walks by Underwood, and he's like, "Coach Holder, how we doing?" Pats him on the back, and just to where it is now, to go back and watch that video is pretty surreal.
It is surreal. The whole thing is so surreal. You know, I think Lindy Waters was the one that tweeted out that, you know, he woke up on Sunday and it felt like a dream. Like, it didn't feel real. And I still sort of feel like that. Like, it was just so stuff like
sudden.
This. Well, and stuff like this happens, but it doesn't happen very often. It's pretty rare, just even nationally, much less for it to happen at Oklahoma State. And I don't know. The whole thing was bizarre. And I say what, good for business, though, for both you and me. People watching, reading, wanting news. That part of it has been, I guess, fun. I don't know if that's the right word, but it's been certainly compelling, I guess, as we've kind of gone through this over the last few days.
Well, yeah, it was supposed to be the dead time of year, like you told your wife right before the news happened, right? Yeah. What are we going to do the next 5 months?
Yeah. She's like, "You're going to hang out with us."
Well, yeah, and I hate coaching search. Yeah, you have to hang out with your kids. Do you remember their names? You've been in that shed too long. But do you want to discuss Doug Gottlieb a little further before we have him on?
Yeah, we
just candidacy and all that.
Yeah, and we should talk about just what type of candidate Oklahoma State is looking for generally. I think you know, Gottlieb is obviously the first name that comes to our minds. I don't know if it's the first name that comes to Holder's mind. Do you buy into the idea of him being kind of the runner up last year, and that means he's the favorite now, or do you think that's sort of a kind of a straw man that lacks like some real punch to it?
Well, I don't know if there was a runner up last year, Kyle. It's pretty obvious that Holder identified Brad Underwood, and that was his guy, like, early on. Like, apparently they contacted his agent well before the season was over. Does that sound familiar at all? and zeroed in on him pretty quickly. I think he did consider the fact that Doug was, you know, wanted the job, considered Doug's strengths and weaknesses. And I don't know how much he actually considered the fact he hadn't coached before. We'll never know that. We're about to find out now. I think the timing is much better for Doug this time around. But I think last time, he had already zeroed in on Brad Underwood. Underwood was like the hottest name in college basketball. Obviously, was a fit. So I don't think he considered anyone else, let alone Doug Gottlieb. But I do think the timing this time around is interesting. I mean, you just got burned by the hot up and comer mid major guy, and if you're not willing to pay someone $2.5-3 million, that's, you're gonna have to hire again. Now, I know, like I said, people are either for Doug or they are absolutely positively against it. It's absolutely stunning to me how there's no middle ground with Doug. I lean towards he can do it more so than he can't. I've yet to hear legitimate candidates that would get me excited. Will Tom Crean come coach at OSU for less than $3 million?
No,
probably not. Will Buzz Williams? Absolutely not. Probably not. He makes 2.3 right now. Maybe you can get him for 2.5. I don't know.
He makes 3 now.
He does? Yeah. It went up? Okay. Yeah. So, like, that's the corner that Holder painted himself into, which you've done a great job illustrating on the blog through your numerous posts, is that if you're going to pay a guy, why didn't you just pay Brett Underwood? So that really eliminates the field of candidates. So someone's going to have to present to me a surefire candidate like Brett Underwood was, because let's face it, like I was questionable about Brett Underwood until I realized he had lost like 5 games in like 5 years or whatever the hell it was at the Southland. And obviously he whooped up on Huggins in the tournament. Like he was proven that he could win coaching. I'm going to have to hear a list of candidates that would get me more fired up than Doug Gottlieb. And I've yet to hear any.
Yeah. And that was sort of my point. I wrote about this is, just, are you going to go through the same process again? You know, you go hire the Middle Tennessee State coach or who, I'm just making schools up. Whoever, pay him 1.7. And then he wins 23 games in his second year and wants 2.8. And you say, well, now we're just, you know, we're good. And then he goes to, you know, to Texas A&M or to Florida or I don't know, whatever. And you're like, well, okay, I guess we got, I mean, what is the plan? Like, do you want to bring in a proof? Like, here was a question I was thinking about last night. Let's say Bill Self is just like temporarily loses his mind and Kansas gets throttled in the Sweet 16 and Bill Self says, you know, I've had enough of this. Like, Lawrence is crazy. Like, these people are crazy. Kansas fans are nuts. Like, I just want to go coach in Stillwater. And calls up Mike Holder. How much money do you think Mike Holder would offer him? Like, what's the ceiling for money that Mike Holder would offer Bill Self?
Well, that's what I want to know. I think he could have offered Underwood $3 million and moved on down the road. That's my opinion. But that's another point, too, Kyle, about the salary. Like, Bill Self is willing to coach at Kansas, obviously, but he ain't going to coach him for $2 million.
Yeah.
If you want a coach that coaches a big-time program and goes to the Final Four like Bill Self does, you have to keep paying guys and giving them raises. Bob Stoops got a raise like a year or two ago. Is Bob Stoops leaving Oklahoma at this point? Probably not. But you know what? He's Bob freaking Stoops, and you better pay him. Now, I'm not comparing Brett Underwood to Bob Stoops and Bill Self. I'm just saying that in order to keep a coach and cultivate him and maintain him, you have to give them raises. Now, after 1 year, you can have that whole argument like we just had over Brett Underwood. But Bill Self ain't coming to coach in Stillwater for anything less than $5-6 million. And that's just the reality. Now, if Bill Self says he's coming, you pay him that. But I don't even want to talk about Bill Self because people get so irrational about that. He's tired of winning at Kansas. Come on home. He loves Stillwater. That ship is so far gone. Bill Self and Greg Marshall are two names I don't want to hear anyone mention.
Greg Marshall.
Stop. It's just not happening.
The Greg Marshall thing kills me. Oh, yeah, we could probably get him at, like, less than he's made. He's making $3 million at Wichita State. Like, and that's another great one. Like, and I'm not, like, obviously I'm not saying that these people are realistic candidates at Oklahoma State. I don't think they are. I mean, it's not even worth your time to call them, in my opinion. But I guess my point is just, like, what is the financial plan for Oklahoma State basketball? I think Mike Holder sees the future of college basketball and says, I don't really know what this landscape's going to look like. And I don't want to be tied into a pricey coach. And if that means that, you know, Oklahoma State finishes sixth in the Big 12 instead of second or third, I think he's okay with that. I think gun to his head, I think he's okay with that. And I don't know that he's wrong necessarily, but as a fan, that's a frustrating perspective for the athletic director to take.
Well, that's why Brennan would left. He said, my boss doesn't view this job the same way I do and the way that OSU fans do. So I'm getting the heck out of here.
Yeah.
And that's frustrating. And I thought Barry Trammell put it best that Mike Holder wants to have a Big 12 basketball program, but finance it like it's a Missouri Valley job. That's what he said in the article. And I don't disagree with that. Like, you either want to compete and win or you don't. It's not incumbent on Brett Underwood to say, well, you screwed up the Travis Ford deal. Well, top half of the league makes over $2.5 million. That's life. That's competition. You want to win big or do you not? And I question whether Mike Holder does.
Well, and the other thing is that people aren't necessarily talking about. Illinois's got some future money rolling in that Oklahoma State doesn't. And that future money is coming because Michigan and Ohio State are good at football, honestly. You know, Fox just restructured their deal with the Big Ten for all sports and paid them a lot of money. And the projections for Big Ten schools' revenue in 2018, so 2017-18, this upcoming year, it's like $45 million. Now, that includes your third-tier rights. Like, that's the stuff, the Olympic sports and, like, your one football game a year or whatever. Because the Big Ten schools have the Big Ten network, so that's everything included. Oklahoma State was paid $30 million by the Big 12 last year and got 5 to 6 for their third tier rights. So they're not like short on cash, but you're going to see this disparity between conferences over the next 5 or 10 years because the Big Ten's making a ton of money. The Big 12 is not. And nobody's excited about the Big 12. The you know, Texas is doing their own thing. OU's selling their third-tier rights and making some money. And I just think that – I don't think it's an accident that a Big 10 school was able to afford a coach that a Big 12 school decided that it could not afford. And I'm talking financially only. And that's going to be an interesting dynamic, I think, in college athletics generally going forward over the next couple decades.
Yeah, that's the larger issue with Oklahoma State and being in the Big 12. And I think that's going to start affect football.
Yeah.
Obviously, their coaching salaries. I mean, basketball salaries pale in comparison to football by and large. So that's a huge issue for the Big 12. The Big 10 is just a better run conference. They got the Big 10 network rolling in the cash. You mentioned the Fox deal. It's you know, that's how the Big Ten's lured away, you know, some big time names is money. It's all about the money. And we thought Brad Underwood was different. We thought he wanted to be buried in Stillwater and wanted to be alongside Iba and Sutton forever, but it comes at a price, and everyone has a price, as the $1 million man once said. So
well, going back to Gottlieb, you know, you and I have talked obviously a lot over the last few years. You know, it's funny to look back at last year because we were both all in, and we're biased. Like, we're not pretending that we're not. Like, we like Doug. He's been cool to us. Like, we're, you know, have a professional relationship with him. And but also, like, you know, I think both you and I see a little bit outside the box of, like, what he could be in Stillwater. And I got to say, I watched your interview with him on Sunday, and he's compelling. Like, the stuff he says is super compelling. I read some of the quotes to my wife, and she's not a huge, she doesn't care one way or the other. Like, she's just whatever. And she was like, man, he can talk. Like, he's good at this. And I mean, that's sort of the point, right? Like, he's good at talking, which means you're probably going to be pretty good at recruiting. And recruiting is more than half the battle in college sports. So I don't know. Just what do you think about his strengths and weaknesses if he were able to land the job?
Yeah, like, I'm with you in that. Yes, obviously we have a professional relationship with Doug. No one denies that. We've had him on the podcast several times. And I guess I just have more faith in someone who can do the job without experience. And I hate when his name comes up and people are like, well, hell, hire Desmond Mason, hire Joe Atkins, hire, you know, hire Big Country.
Brendan Manzer was the best one I saw.
Yeah. Like, that is not the point, people. We're not saying hire Doug Gottlieb because he played point guard at Oklahoma State. You have to, like, listen to him talk, and I was able to talk to him a little bit off the record just about recruiting and his philosophies and stuff like that. Like, people have no clue how connected this guy is to the recruiting scene, the AAU scene, just the coaching scene in general, the assistants he would hire. Like, I think people far underestimate him as just a talking head. They don't realize he's been immersed in college basketball his entire life. His dad was a coach. His brother's still one of the best recruiters in the Pac-12. And like you said, like, Brian Keating made a great point. He said, you know, college basketball is about getting dudes. Just look at Scott Drew. People don't think that guy can coach out of a paper bag, but here he is about to make his third Elite Eight probably, has a chance at the Final Four because he gets studs and he gets big guys, which Travis Ford didn't get. If you're out there yelling at your podcast saying Travis Ford recruited, he didn't win. Scott Drew gets a well-rounded team recruited, and I think the biggest strength Doug has, and he said this very well in an article by John Helsley, and he said it on the interview I had with him. He said, yes, I believe I have a high level of basketball intelligence, but there's plenty of basketball savants out there who can't communicate to kids and can't get them to execute it. and they also can't motivate kids. That's actually the best thing that I do. Like, that's where I think he would succeed, is he would surround himself with experienced assistants to kind of help him navigate his first season of coaching college basketball. But I just believe in Doug more than I believe in just a former player that happened, went to school at Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
I kind of wanted to see Doug get the Kansas State job when he was campaigning for that a few years ago. I thought that would be fun. I think Doug would crush wherever he goes. And I just, for people to just dismiss him because of the lack of experience, they're not paying attention. Fred Hoiberg is a direct comparison. People can dismiss that all they want, but you cannot. He had no experience at all. Absolutely murdered it at Iowa State. Lost like what, five home games the last 4 years. Just had it rolling. And I guarantee you, Doug Gottlieb knows more about the inner workings of college basketball right now than Fred Hoiberg did when he accepted to become the head coach at Iowa State. There's zero doubt in my mind. When Fred Hoiberg was the assistant GM at the Minnesota Timberwolves crunching the salary cap, he didn't know as much about the AAU scene that Doug Gottlieb does and how to get recruits get into living rooms and stuff like that. So I'm in on Doug, but I'm willing to hear it out, because this time last year, I think you and I can both admit that Brad Underwood was the best guy for the job, and that's who Mike Holder hired. And we were, in essence, I guess, wrong in a way that we wanted Doug Gottlieb and not Brad Underwood. So I say all this with a little bit of reservation in that hiring a proven coach worked out great with Brad Underwood. So I'm not saying that Doug's the only option. I'm not saying that you should just ignore all the candidates and hire Doug just because you got left at the altar by Brad Underwood. I'm much more rational about it this year. But for people to just dismiss Doug, I think is completely unfair. And they're ignoring all the traits that he has and all the connections he has.
Well, and you and I have talked about this. You know, it sounds like a ridiculous thing to say out loud. And so I know I'm about to sound ridiculous, but you listen to Steve Kerr, go back 5 years, go back 7 years. He's on TNT. He's doing podcasts with Bill Simmons, with all these different people. And you listen to him talk about basketball and talk about just life generally. And you're like, yeah, if that guy has good players, he's going to be a good coach. You know, like, he's collecting plays. He's super organized, super prepared. Like, it's not difficult to draw the line between him being a broadcaster on TNT and then winning, 73 games with the Warriors. Like, that's not a difficult leap to make or it wasn't for me. Like, he succeeds as a coach and you're like, yeah, I get that. And I sort of feel the same about Gottlieb just in talking to him. You're like, yeah, he's super prepared, like, for, his radio show and TV, and he knows every player in college basketball and he knows their tendencies, and like, I don't know how he knows all that stuff, but he does. And the leap from him being good at broadcasting and doing TV to being a really good basketball coach, it's not that big of a leap for me. Now, does that mean he's going to work out? No, of course not. Like, there's so many variables that go into whether a coach is good or not. Injuries, whether you get one recruit can make a huge difference in college basketball the way it can't in football. So of course, like, you might fire him and he might fail, but I just, the people who just dismiss it out of hand, it's like, just open your mind up a little bit and like look beyond, you know, the way things have always been done to embrace sort of this countercultural way of doing things. Like, it's just, somebody said on the blog the other day, like, he needs to go earn his, I don't even know what they said, earn his stripes or, pay his dues. And it's like, what the hell does that mean? Like, going and like being an assistant for 3 years doesn't mean that you're going to be a better or worse head coach. Like, you just are what you are, you know? And yeah, you'll learn on the job year one. Like, that will be a huge learning curve, but I don't buy into that whole, like, go earn your dues and pay, you know, work your way up and whatever. I just think that's silliness.
Yeah, that's just why Doug's so unique. Like, he has a job paying him more than a mid-major assistant coaching job is going to pay him. He's not going to leave for that.
Yeah.
He's going to leave for his alma mater or a job very similar. And the connections to Steve Kerr, too. Like, Steve Kerr took things from other coaches that he was broadcasting, or if he's watching a play, breaking down film, he makes a note of it. I guarantee you Doug's been doing the same things. And Kerr learned from two of the best coaches in the NBA, Greg Popovich and Phil Jackson. Doug Gottlieb played point guard for Eddie Sutton. Do you think he learned a thing or two in the time he spent in Stillwater playing for Eddie Sutton? I think so. So, I mean, just I'm with you. I think people just need to just open their ears a little, and just I think people just throw their hands over their face when you suggest Doug Gottlieb sometimes. And yeah. I think you guys got to do a little bit of research, hear him talk a little bit, and you'll open your mind a little bit more. Now the question is, will Mike Holler open his mind a little more? That's the big question remaining. And I do think this will happen quick, Kyle. There's no time to waste. You have recruits committed to OSU still. Mike Holder's got to get this solved in the next 48 hours, I would think.
Ooh, 48 hours. Wow. That's fast. Really?
Before 72, maybe?
I mean, I think it's done by the... maybe by the end of the week, you think?
Well, yeah, he's got to interview people, I guess. So maybe 48's a little hasty. But he got the Underwood thing done pretty quick.
Yeah,
now.
But how long were they talking?
You know?
He saw that coming from about 3 years away. Like, that was... That was a little bit different.
Right. Okay. Well, his list is still probably the ink is probably still drying on his coaching candidate list from last year.
He's writing down on like the back of a Carson Creek scorecard. There's my list. And then before we go, let's hear one more time from our sponsor, Chris's University Spirit. Chris's University Spirit on Campus Corner in Stillwater, Oklahoma is proud to be your one-stop Cowboy shop since 1986. And proud sponsor of this podcast, Pistols Firing. They specialize in custom printed Oklahoma State apparel and merchandise and pride themselves on their excellent customer service. They also offer a full line of custom Greek apparel and can even outfit your Little League team head to toe. They're located at the corner of 3rd and Knobloch on historic Campus Corner. You can follow them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and be sure to shop online at chrisuniversityspirit.com. Shop Stilly, shop Chris's University Spirit. Okay, Carson, let's wrap up just a wild weekend, a fun Monday podcast. We've got other stuff planned later in the week. Just kind of final thoughts on the weekend and where Oklahoma State's going from here.
Well, it was a dark day in the Mike Holder tenure, dark day for the OSU men's basketball program. Just think how long it's been since OSU basketball was relevant. I mean, OSU used to be a basketball school. That is dead and buried. It's a football school. The basketball program is just trying to keep its head above water now without another head coach. It's sad, and I think there's no person you can blame other than Mike Holder for giving Travis Ford a ridiculous 10-year contract, and they're still paying for it today. It came up in the Brad Underwood discussions. It's absolutely ludicrous that he did it, and it continues to just haunt what I think is the second best program in the Big 12. Brad Underwood thought that too at one time. I know Mike Holder has a job to do. I know he has money to budget. I get all that. But you also have to have a little bit of pride and a little bit of investment in a program if you want to win. And it's disappointing. And I'm not sure where they go from here, Kyle. I don't know if he has the chest to hire Doug Gottlieb, as Les Miles would say. I'm dubious he does. I'm dubious that he would do that. One thing we haven't mentioned yet, Kyle, didn't Mike Holder have zero coaching experience when he took over the golf program? Didn't we make that point last year?
Yeah, I wrote that article. That was one of my – I need to repost that. That was one of my favorites.
Look in the mirror.
Yeah.
So it's a huge turning point in the program. But I also think, as you've touched on many times, at what does OSU basketball have to lose at this point? They've been dormant for over a decade. Is Doug Gottlieb going to set the program back to just levels in which it can't recover from? I doubt that. So it's
that's what
go ahead.
Well, people get mad at me for saying that OU is a much better basketball program than Oklahoma State. Guess what? They are. And somebody said, well, except the national titles. I'm like, that's 80 years ago. Like, look at the history of the Big 12. Like, OU is a significantly better basketball program than Oklahoma State.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I meant to make this point on TV last night. I didn't have time. Joe Castiglione went to Las Vegas trying to get Lon Kruger. Lon Kruger told him no. He goes back to Norman, flies back to UNLV with $2.8 million, $3 million, whatever the heck Lon's making now. And Lon Kruger had been at UNLV for 7, 8, 9 years, had just built a $5 million house, just built it, was entrenched at UNLV, and he took the job at Oklahoma because he got freaking paid.
Yeah.
So Joe Castiglione showed he's going to do what it takes to get good at basketball. And Mike Holder has shown he's not.
But again, OU's got more money to play with than Oklahoma State does. That's a factual thing. Like, that's a real
right.
thing.
Right, and that illustrates why they have such a – like, that's why OU basketball has been better than OSU literally forever almost, other than, you know, a period of time under Eddie and a period of time under Iba, is that they're a hell of an athletic department run by perhaps the best athletic director in the country. There's a big difference.
Yeah. Yeah, I hate that. Like, I hate it as much as everybody else. Like, I want Oklahoma State to be better at basketball than OU, but look at the last decade, look at the history of the Big 12. OU's head-to-head beat them. They've got a better record against Oklahoma State. They've had more I believe they've had more tournament success. I haven't totaled up the NCAA tournament wins, but they've certainly had more recent tournament success, you know, in the last decade. So Oklahoma State's got work to do, and like we talked about, I don't know how set Mike Holder is on, you know, making Oklahoma State basketball great again, but I don't know. This hire is going to be a fascinating one, and I'm pretty locked into this week to seeing what happens.
Coaching searches are not fun, but they're good for the blog.
Yes.
Good for the pod.
Definitely. We've got a ton of stuff up on the site. Thomas Fleming wrote about four coaches that had never coached before that went on to have success both in the NBA and college. We've got couple other things coming today. All of our coverage from the weekend. Carson did that awesome interview with Gottlieb. We got that up there, the Facebook video. So check it out, and we will be back later in the week with a big-time guest.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Talk to you then.
Okay. Bye.